Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome inside. It's the big show in the morning, and it's a Thursday. What's going on? Matty Rose along with you. And sitting across from me today is Patty Dumas. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Oh, it's good day, Patrick. It's a good day.
It is a good day.
9:30 this morning, the Calgary Flames will have their first on-ice training camp session. First of three, as there is a big old group of players here in Calgary.
There's a lot of guys here.
A lot of guys split into three different groups. Yesterday, the general manager, Brad Chilivan, spoke to the media as they were going through all their fitness testing and whatnot. Also had an interview with Pat Steinberg. I recommend you go search that one out. We'll play a few clips from it in a second here, but that one's available on the Flames Talk podcast feed for you. Because pitter-patter. We've waited a long time for this.
Yeah, man.
We've seen a lot of change. It's been a summer.
Yeah.
Out goes Johnny Gaudreau. Out goes Matthew Tkachuk. To a lesser extent, Eric Branson.
Sean Monahan's no longer here.
Sure. That's a good one. And in comes Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, and Nazem Kadri. And now we get to watch them skate around together. Let's go! I'm excited.
It's an exciting time. It's a new era for this Calgary Flames group. Trying to bank off the success they had last year, Pacific Division champs. Obviously didn't like the way they finished in the second round, of course. But, you know what? This is a new group. Brad Tree Living had a hell of a summer. And, we'll hear from him as well coming up here. A lot of good bits on. I know Andrew Mangiapane is going to miss the start of camp here. Mm-hmm. Oliver Shillington's going to miss the start of camp here. So, there's news.
Listen, there's some news and notes and stuff like that. Shillington and Mangiapane, yes, they aren't going to be here for the start of camp. It sounds like Mangiapane pretty short term. TBD with Shillington. We'll get to all of that in the morning report and some good news on Chris Tanev as well.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of storylines to follow apart from, some of the absences to start camp here. I'd say one of the bigger ones would be, Adam Rozicka signed yesterday, so that's good. But really, it's about building chemistry and trying to figure out what comes next and how can we get everything working collectively in sync as fast as possible, so that we don't have to try and make up any ground as the season goes on. Because I think that you look at the roster and you say, yes, there is either, slight improvement, about the same, or I'd say there's a pretty small group of people who feel this way, but there would be a small group of people who feel that the team might be slightly worse. But for the most part, there's a lot of guys in here that are new, and you're going to have to try and work on the fly. But that's the beauty of camp, right? It's all about trying to build this chemistry and see who works well together. And honestly, it's one of the reasons that I think I'm more excited for camp than I have been in the past, because this is a team that for a lot of years, there wouldn't be a lot of turnover.
Exactly.
And now we've seen it. So now it's all about building chemistry, as general manager Brad Tree Living said when he spoke to the media yesterday.
Yeah, I think you start, for the most part, the group's been here for the last couple of weeks skating. So you develop the relationships and the bond. But chemistry, you got to get in and see live bullets. You just don't know, right? We've probably all put our lines together on a napkin, right? Usually that lasts 10 minutes. And then you don't know where chemistry is going to come from, right? So that's why you go through camp. I mean, that's why you play all the games. That's why you go through the practices. So I'm being perfectly honest with you. Daryl and I have talked about it all summer, but we don't know. I mean, you just don't know where fits and matches. You have an idea where you think maybe skill sets fit. But ultimately, until you get out on the ice, until you get into competitive situations, we'll see. But I think the group's been together, for a while. They've built the bond. It's a tight-knit group. There's a lot of guys that have been here before are returning. The new guys have fit in, but, that's different from on-ice chemistry. So we'll start that tomorrow.
And yes, they will. Like I mentioned, first group goes at 9:30, the second at 11:45, and then the third at 2 o'clock. That'll be the same deal for Friday's sessions. I believe Saturday the same, and then Sunday they've got some game day skates as they'll do a split squad game with the Vancouver Canucks. Half the team will fly out to the coast and play against the Canucks out there, and half the team will remain here in Calgary and play, and then there's going to be a pretty good group of players that actually don't get into that game whatsoever. You'd probably expect a bunch of the guys that you'd put onto the main roster in Penn probably not going to play a whole ton in that first game.
No.
So that's one of the big things that I'm keeping an eye on. You know, what are some of the line combinations? Is there anything that maybe clicks early on in camp and you see it kind of continue as a trend throughout these next few weeks leading into, you know, early to mid-October when the season does start?
Mm-hmm.
The other big area that I'm going to be keeping an eye on is the blue line for the Calgary Flames, especially knowing that Oliver Shillington isn't going to be around for at least the start of the season. Dealing with some personal matters back home and no real timeline given by general manager Brad Treliving. Won't be speaking on it until there's things to be speaking on.
Exactly.
So by all means, that leaves open spots. You know, you look at the blue line, Hanifin, Anderson, locks, Uyghur, lock, Tanev, lock. Also, like I mentioned, good news on Tanev. Sounds like he's going to be out there today. Zadorov.
Lock.
Shillington, probably a lock.
Yep.
But all of a sudden, you know, you start looking at which way guys shoot, and you go, well, these pairs might not make sense. So there's that, but then there's the added wrinkle of the other players, the other guys who are, yes, signed to one-year contracts, or one-way contracts, and that being, you know, it kind of is what it is. If you deal with that early on in the season, you don't really have to worry about waivers so much because every team is dealing with it. And I don't think that the team is overly worried about, you know, this is a team that I think if you were paying attention this offseason, the money that if you have to pay these guys a little bit extra to go play in the AHL, yeah. I don't know if they're fretting over that. This isn't a team that's necessarily looking at pinching a whole bunch of pennies when it comes to the roster lately.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the guys that I mentioned. Then it's Connor Mackey and it's Yusuf Alamaki. And then there's the other guys, some of the newcomers, Nicholas Meloche, Dennis Gilbert. What are their roles going to be in the upcoming year? Because all four of those guys are signed to one-way deals.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that Brad Treliving is interested to keep an eye on as well, those battles on the blue line.
You know, there's certain guys that you're trying to see. I guess it's twofold, Ryan. Who plays with who? Like, you never know where chemistry is going to be. So sorting out that, and then, you know, there's some new faces. We've got some younger players that are, you know, they've got to push the door down. It's their time now. So the contract situation is irrelevant. It's the play situation that matters. The idea was to come in here with a lot of depth. And again, you're always, numbers doesn't mean depth, you know. Playing well means depth. And I think we got lots of guys that come in great shape. There's only X amount of players that you can draft. So I'm excited to see the competition, and I think we'll have a lot of it.
I'm very excited as well. We got a couple of preseason games coming up here at the Dome. They are in Seattle on Tuesday. They'll be back at home next Wednesday to take on the Oilers. Then it'll be off on the road to face the Oilers again. So really you've got this Sunday and then Wednesday if you wanted to catch some preseason action for the Calgary Flames take in some of this new-look organization. Be one of the first people to perhaps catch Jonathan Huberdeau or Mackenzie Weegar and Nassim Kadri skating around.
Yep.
I don't know how much preseason those guys are going to be playing, but I would suggest some, given that it is a new roster. You're probably going to be looking for some chemistry, maybe more than perhaps we saw from the likes of Gaudreau and Tkachuk and all those guys last season. But you're probably not going to be doing a lot of traveling either, if you're those guys.
No, you probably want those guys probably around here for sure. And we talked about, like, I know Sutter brought it up last year, is like, why do we play so many preseason games compared to everybody else? I think the Flames had the most by far, and they have seven this year as well. So
yep.
Maybe that is the more preseason games could help with this group and just trying to get the clicking number. I mean, I also noticed one note, like Sonny Milano's number. That is not that's a high number. So that's number 15 for Sonny Milano. So there's a they think he's gonna be around here for sure. So and that like with Milano with Mangiapane out, Milano, that's a guy that could definitely help up down the wing, could possibly play and fill his spot in the top six right now to start. So. Yeah, I think the more preseason, the better right now to try and get this group, the chemistry up and going. And, it's a lot of good depth here, and it comes in handy. First day, you see two guys that aren't going to be here, and that's, you know, why Brad was like, hey, we got a lot of one-way on defense. You just never know.
Yeah, exactly. And the PTOs are interesting for sure. Like, mm-hmm. Michael Stone is what he is. I think I don't know if we need to throw a whole bunch of hot takes around about Michael Stone. No. People in this city know what Michael Stone is.
Yeah.
Cody Eakin is a little bit different, a little bit of a more veteran player, established in the league, an elite faceoff man is kind of his calling card.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need someone to go out and win a big draw for you, like when he signed that PTO, there was someone who texted in at 960-960, and we encourage you to be a part of the show. And they were talking all about how Cody Eakin was that guy in the game this past season, the Flames and Sabres. At the Saddle Dome.
Yeah, Sabres upset.
Yeah, where the Flames threw everything plus the kitchen sink at the net that game. I think the shots, they quadrupled the Sabres in shots. Yeah. It was brutal. But in overtime, Cody Eakin would come out, win the draw. The Sabres would retreat and get possession, Cody Eakin would change, and out would come Tage Thompson or Alex Tuck or someone of that caliber, and it worked. Now, granted, overtime ended when Jacob Markstrom tried to rush a pass up the ice and then whiffed on it and went into the net.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you could also argue, like, he's trying to rush that pass because they're getting dummied in the faceoff circle and can't get any possession whatsoever.
Exactly.
Like, I remember the first couple minutes of that overtime, they got the possession, and then I think maybe the Flames might have iced it or something like that, but the initial trio got trapped out there for like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And kind of hanging on by their teeth. And then they finally get a little bit of pressure, and the Sabres cleared, and then it went in the back of the net. But that's what Cody can do for you.
Yeah.
And if you're a coach that kind of can use him in that sense, and you put him down on your fourth line, and you're skating him, you know, the sub 10 minutes a game, I think there's a way you can make it work, and I don't think he's a guy that's going to make a ton of money either. Even you know, he's a guy coming in on a PTO.
Yeah,
Sonny Milano's different, like you mentioned. He's wearing number 15 at camp. Is that what you were?
Yeah,
it's a lower number. It's a number that NHL players typically wear.
Mm-hmm.
And with Andrew Mangiapane's status up in the air, at least to start the season, you know, it does sound like it's going to be quite pretty minor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting ad. Like, he's one of the guys that I'm very excited to. Just even see, not necessarily in the preseason games, but even at just the general skates.
I think there's still a lot of untapped potential for sure in Sonny Milano. I think you get him in a right situation under the right coaching, and I think this guy, I'm not saying he's ever going to be like maybe how he was, you know, billed out of coming out of the U.S. developmental program and his time at Plymouth. I don't think he's going to be like a 60-point guy year in, year out, but if this guy can be a solid 40-point guy this year and, you know, down the line, I think this is what this guy can get. And he's a guy, like, similar to Evan Rodriguez, where you can play him up and down the lineup and fill in if injuries happen and whatnot.
Sure.
Talent's there. Still a young guy. He's 26, I believe.
25 or 26. Yeah, he's got a ton of skill.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I could see him being up and down the lineup a bit, I guess. Like, he feels like someone that has to have the right guys playing with him.
Fair.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not necessarily someone that's going to be out there and driving play on a line, especially from a wing, which is already difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that never really felt like his game. Like we've talked about, like, the main reason people know who Sonny Milano is this year is because he was the recipient of the dish again.
Yeah.
And he didn't drive that line.
Hello.
No, that was Mr. Trevor Zegras. So I'm
interested. Do you think he needs to be more? Do Do you think he play more of on a, like a third line checking type role, or
I don't
he need,
love it,
or does he need to be like a?
I want
to
see him in more of a scoring
second,
role,
second line.
Use
winger.
Your speed, give him a little bit of a skill guy, but I also I'm like, I just don't. Is he a second line winger though? I don't know. Like I've got a lot of questions because don't get me wrong, he's got a lot of offensive talents, but that's like I said, that's one of the guys that I'm very excited to watch in camp, and much like you know watching Gabranson and Zadorov last year. Didn't love them in training camp. I actually thought they were quite bad in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But through the course of the regular season, became two of my favorite players to watch. That'd be the hope, but I'm also a little bit skeptical. Brad Treliving spoke on the PTO, said he signed with his team. This one is from the actual interview with Pat Steinberg that he did after the press conference, and this is one you can find on the Flames Talk podcast feed.
Especially for a veteran player, players that have been around, you got to give them, you know, give them some time to sort of get comfortable with things. But ultimately, what you're trying to find is there a role that they can fit in to help you win games? You know, ultimately, that's what you're looking at. And when I look at, you know, all three of these players specifically, I look at Sonny Milano as, you know, Sonny's background is an offensive guy coming up, you know him very well going back to his draft year. I think, you know, there's been some ups and downs in his career. I think he, you know, he had his best year last year statistically, ran into some injury troubles. But now is he a guy that's, you know, to me, he fits in a spot in your top nine. That's a wing depth, scoring wing depth to me is an area that we got to continue to look at. Is he a guy that can help that? And is there a fit for him? And then we've got, you know, in that conversation, you've got some players that played. There's a number of them, and I don't want to point out or single out anybody because you're leaving people out. But I know there's a handful of guys there that think they want to grab a hold of that. So that's where Sonny fits. Can he fit in here in a role that we have available to us and help us win games? Then you look at Cody. Cody's been, you know, to me in where he's at in his career now, he's a bottom six forward, you know, primarily a centerman, can play the wing. To me, you have to have depth. You have to have depth at center ice. We saw that last year. We ran into injuries, and I thought the center ice position, you know, we became thin there. You know, this guy's—he's been a good pro. Again, his game's sort of fallen off the last little bit. Can he come in and grab a spot to help us win? And then we know Mike very well, and Michael had opportunities elsewhere. Michael's an NHL player, and he's a big, strong. Right shot defenseman. We've got a lot of bodies on the blue line, but we wanted to bring Michael back. Again, you're trying to do whatever you can, dice the best possible team. Does he fit in somewhere? Now with Oliver's, you know, Oliver's not going to be here for a little bit. That's going to open up opportunity for other people. We'll see how it all fits at the end of the day.
I'm not surprised to hear that Michael Stone had opportunities elsewhere either. And I'm also not surprised they decided
to... I'm happy that he had opportunities.
Yeah, good for him.
Like, that's awesome.
I'm a big Michael Stone fan. But
the whole city is, man. Like, we love this guy.
And now he's going to get a little bit of opportunity to start the year here, perhaps.
Yeah.
That'd be...
Because like, I'm looking at... Stone's ahead of... I would say Stone's ahead of Mackey and Valimaki for sure.
Well, I'm recency bias.
Yeah, based on... Yeah, exactly. Based on...
I haven't seen... I don't have the cam the in work. The gym, but
yeah, exactly what the
boys have been doing in the off season.
Exactly, and I'm sure you want Mackey and Valimaki to probably push Michael Stone out of that spot. You think for sure you want to be like, oh, we have three serious number sixers, number sevens.
Mm-hmm.
Then hell yeah.
I think that another thing, and this is the last thing we'll touch on before we get to the break in the morning report, and some fans have clamored for this, but. Is there another winger coming in? Because people have looked at it and said, oh, maybe there's a little bit of a hole there. And that was a lot before the Sonny Milano PTO signing.
Yeah.
But Brad Treliving was asked, have you thought about, you know, another winger via a PTO or anything of that type of ilk? And this is the answer that he gave.
We'll see. Eric, I want to see how, you know, we got the group here. So you want to see how that plays out. I think if you look at our group right now, in all honesty, you know, that top nine is still kind of a work in progress, I think, for us, so how everything's going to work out. In an ideal world, you know, somebody on the right side. Again, there's opportunities for guys here. I want to see how our players perform first. And like I said, we've had young players here. We'll see. It's up to them. But I don't think anybody's done tinkering, but you know, we've got a lot of bodies here to evaluate. That process started for some of the young guys in Penticton. Now they'll jump into here. Then we've got some PTO guys. So I kind of want to get a handle on what we've got here. Let Daryl get a handle on what we got here, but you're always, you know, you're always sniffing around probably.
Sniffing around probably.
It's always something to be made.
Sniffing around probably.
We'll put that in. That's a drop forever.
Yeah, just sniffing around probably. Like probably. What does that mean? That was like a little kicker at the end where he's like,
probably.
By the way, it's coming out later today. You're like, what? Probably. Sorry, what?
Until what, October 13th hits or 14th? Yeah. Anything can happen here.
That's fair. So that's the story, man. We're getting excited. Training camp is underway or will be underway. I wonder if we'll find out the fitness testing results.
That'd be nice.
Because I did get confirmation on who won it last year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to share that in the morning report.
Okay.
Hey, you got a pretty nice show you've booked here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Pete Weber. So yesterday, remember, we canvassed the listeners. Yeah. We said, hey, we're talking a lot of NHL this week. We're getting ready. It's training camp.
Tell them
so
to pick two more for tomorrow.
Which teams do you want to hear from? And we got a whole bunch of texts and a lot of the listeners, like Montreal and Columbus were at the top of the list, as were Nashville and Seattle. And look at what Patty Dumas brought for you, the listeners. Pete Weber, play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators. Just he wins the Nashville Sportscaster of the Year award.
Yeah.
They just basically, he just got like a permanent plaque on it. It's just like, since it started to present, I believe is what it says. So Pete Weber's going to join us just after 7. We're going to get the story on the Predators, who are an interesting team. They, unlike the Flames, did re-sign their kind of high-profile UFA left winger. And then they also added to their blue line, much like the Flames, by getting Ryan McDonagh out of a Florida team. There's a lot of similarities you can draw. Kind of. Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation is going to join us as well. We're going to do our usual Thursday night NFL Week 3 preview segment. Chris Easterling from the Akron Beacon Journal is going to join us to talk about the Browns, and Brian Batko is going to join us to talk about the Steelers. He writes for the Post-Gazette Sports Now. That'll be just after 8 o'clock. And then Jeff Baker, who writes for the Seattle Times, covering the Seattle Kraken, is also going to join the show. Because as I mentioned, that was another one that the listeners really wanted to hear from. And I would argue that you picked the two hardest ones and you got them done right away. Because the Predators have been tough. They don't have a lot of people that cover the team. You know, they're on the central time zone, so that certainly helps. And Pete Weber's a beauty. And then Jeff Baker, that's Pacific.
Yeah.
So that's a little tough. So that's going to be 7:30 out in Seattle for Jeff. But nevertheless,
he'll probably be out on the ice in 2 hours there from them anyways. So
yeah, something like that. Yeah. Like I imagine that the guy's, probably up and about.
Oh, yeah.
doing some stuff.
First day of school for these guys.
Yeah, that too. But also, like Patty said, tomorrow we do have some open spots on the show. So let us know. Which NHL markets do you want us to check in with? Like I mentioned, Columbus and Montreal are quite near the list. Mm-hmm. We talked to Eric Engels back in mid-July, and I think the last time we went to Columbus was Aaron Portsline. That was also in July.
Yeah, right after the Goudreau signing.
Yeah,
for sure, so
we'll dive into, we'll try and check in on both of those markets. And yeah, 960-960. If you got any intrigue on some of the other markets out and about around the NHL, let us know, and we'll try and dive in on the morning show to bring you exactly what you want. Also, I wanted to mention, today, it is the deadline at midnight tonight for the bonus prize for the Hospital Home Lottery. The Cayenne and Caribbean bonus prize. The deadline is midnight tomorrow. You can win a Porsche Cayenne plus a 7-night vacation to a Caribbean island destination of your choice every year for 3 years, or take $125,000 cash. This is all part of the YYC Home Lottery, which is in support of the Calgary Health Foundation. You can get your tickets by going to foothillshospitalhomelottery.com or 1-888-541-5540. And listen, We talked about the bonus prize, but the show home, looking over the lake in Mahogany,
mm-hmm.
it's only worth $2.7 million, Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. It's fully furnished.
Pocket change.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
Decorated, landscaped. You also get an Audi Q8.
Like, we were down there last year at the show home, and it is nuts. Like, that Mahogany area, first off, beautiful. A little south for me.
Yeah.
Beltline guy.
Yeah.
But you get down there and it's so peaceful. You feel like you're not even close to a big city. Yeah, it's just, they got everything down there for you, too. Yeah. The people are so pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Quiet.
Yeah. And especially if you're driving around in this 2023 Audi Q8 Progressive that comes with it, because that's the one that doesn't use all the gasoline.
Oh, so it's hybrid.
Some of these fancy new cars that they do all sorts of cool stuff. So I would assume that's a quiet vehicle in a quiet neighborhood in a big house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Big old lake behind you, too.
And they've got the Canmore Early Bird Prize. It's Alberta's biggest early bird prize. It's a $925,000 condo, custom built by Spring Creek out in Canmore, plus $25,000 cash. They get the current 50-50 jackpot. It's over $1 million. Mm-hmm. Last year's 50-50 went over 2.6. How big is it going to get this year? And you want to get your tickets because you're really helping to advance critical care and surgery for thousands of patients. Meeting Albertans' surgical needs requires the mobilization of new ideas, new equipment, new operating rooms that can support a variety of complex procedures and also advance minimally invasive approaches that help decrease patient risk and help with recovery time. Last year, over 20,300 emergency surgeries were required for patients who required immediate intervention, and that's who you are helping support. For more details, head over to Calgary Hospital HomeLottery.com. We're going to be talking about it all day, as yes, it is the deadline at midnight tomorrow to get that big, big prize be entered in for it. The Cayenne and Caribbean bonus prize. Vacations provided by Custom Travel Solutions here in Calgary. And we're going to be talking about that all day long. But around the corner, it's time for the morning report. Get you caught up on everything in the world of sports that was. Flames got some updates for training camp. The Blue Jays were in action, taking on the Phillies, closing out that set. Now they're on their way down to Tampa, and week three of the NFL season begins as well. We'll dive into it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's time for the Morning Report. Let's dive into it. Morning Report is brought to you by Motorworks. Exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose.
Matt Rose. Lots to get to on the report today. The Flames, the Jays, the NFL, a lot to get to. But we are going to start with the Calgary Flames. Training camp starts today. Yesterday was fitness testing and General Manager Brad Treliving's initial address to the media. Also, sidebar, ran into one of the lovely marketing guys from the Flames, Brady, at Stamps practice, okay. Told me it was, in fact, Dylan Dubé who won fitness testing last year following the departure of Mark Giordano.
Was he listening?
He was listening.
Oh, okay.
He told me he was texting in at the time, but
okay,
so he didn't want to be like, by the way, I know.
I work for the team, I know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You don't need to flex on us all the time.
Like, we get it.
So he came up and he was like, hey, just so you know, it was Dylan Dubé.
Well, good for Dylan Dubé.
So good for him. We'll see who, we'll try and find out who won.
Go back to back, Dylan.
Today, they'll get on the ice in three separate groups, start gearing up for the season opener just a few short weeks away. Brad Treliving did speak to the media. He addressed a few player statuses like Chris Tanev, off-season surgery for a shoulder injury that was supposed to keep him out 4 to 6 months and delay the start of his season. Doesn't sound like that's the case.
I haven't talked to the docs. They're going through their medicals right now, but we anticipate everything's going to be good. Chris will be on the ice with the group tomorrow, and then we'll just, you know, we may probably not play him in preseason games initially, you know, the first little bit of preseason games, but we anticipate that he's going to be full go here starting tomorrow.
He also spoke on Andrew Mangiapane, who won't be with the main groups due to a small injury.
He had a tweak during some summer skates We don't anticipate it's going to be anything. We anticipate it's going to be very short term, but he is skating on his own right now with our medical staff, our skills and development people. And then he probably will rejoin the group here in the next couple of days. So,
and finally, the defenseman, Oliver Shillington, also not at camp. And when he will arrive still is to be determined.
Oliver is dealing with a personal family issue. I think it's important to say this is not substance abuse related. He is dealing with a personal issue, a family issue. The organization is in full support of Oliver. And I would just ask media members and people alike to give Oliver some privacy in this time right now.
And we certainly will. The team has also announced two signings. Brett Ritchie got 1 year at league minimum. Big Brett Rich is back. And Adam Rozichka signed for 2 years, $762,500 per. First year, two-way. Second year, one-way.
Yeah. Adam Rozichka, this is a guy we were like, well, where's Adam? Where's Adam? Well, he's here.
He's here.
To sign. This guy needs to play. Sutter's made that well known that he is not a fourth liner. This is not a guy that's going to play 6-7 minutes a night against the other team's fourth line. This guy has the skill and ability to play up and down the lineup, being in the top nine. So he needs to play. Hopefully he has a really good camp, can really assert himself. And I don't know if he's on the opening night team, but hell, he's probably a first call-up for sure.
Elsewhere in the NHL, the Islanders announced three contracts, all 1 year in league minimum, $750K. Former Leafs winger Nikita Shoshnikov, veteran goaltender Corey Schneider, and that RFA, Parker Watherspoon. Only five RFAs remained unsigned. Jason Robertson in Dallas, Rasmus Sandin in Toronto, Ryan McLeod in Edmonton, Nick Hague in Vegas, and Alex Formanton in Ottawa. Finally, Kevin Adams, a multi-year extension to remain the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. And the PWHPA made an announcement yesterday. They're going to be playing some games, and they dropped the rosters. Four teams are going to be battling out in this new Women's Hockey League, and the rosters are pretty stacked. Six of the 10 top scorers from the most recent 2022 Women's World Hockey Championships are going to be playing. 13 of 23 players from the American roster and 19 of 23 from the Canadian roster who won gold. They're going to play a couple events in Montreal in October 15th and 16th. Then they'll go to Truro, Nova Scotia, November 4th and 6th. And there's going to be more dates announced in the near future. But these rosters are stacked. This could probably be some pretty good hockey.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be entertaining for sure. And they just want to get these guys a league for sure.
Like MPP's there. Yeah. You got Debienne, the goaltender for Canada. Kessel. You name it.
The best of the best are going to be playing in this. This is awesome. I love these little games that they came up with during the pandemic year and awesome. It's great.
Jays will wrap it up two-game set down in Philly and a pretty good pitching matchup for this one. Kevin Gausman for the Jays, Zach Wheeler for the Phillies, the Philadelphia ace returning after he missed his last five starts. And how about the first inning for Kevin Gausman?
2-2. Swing and a miss. And Schwarber is down on strikes. The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Got him with the splitter. And the payoff pitch. Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss? Or did he foul it off? It's a miss. Harper hovers in the batter's box saying that he fouled that ball off. Chris Guccione, the home plate umpire, examines the knob of the bat. The side is retired after a little bit of a disgruntled hitter. Harper officially down in the book as a strikeout. Gausman fans to the side, and we're going to the second with no score. Swing and a miss?
Swing and a miss?
Swing and a miss?
Swing and a miss?
He'd record all three outs in the second inning via strikeout as well. As much as he was dealing, getting the swing and miss, the Jays were grounding out. They were popping out all over the field. Nothing going for either team in the third or fourth. The Phillies had opted to call in Noah Syndergaard for the fifth inning, replacing Wheeler after four innings as they ease him back in. 58 pitches for Wheeler over four innings. He allowed two hits, struck out three. Syndergaard would allow a hit, but also record a strikeout in the fifth as the Jays trotted out Gausman for the bottom of the inning. After Gausman worked the first batter, he notched his seventh strikeout to secure the first out of the inning. He'd get another strikeout, but then load the bases up on another walk with Bryce Harper coming to the plate. Two outs, bases juiced, scoreless game, both teams in a race for wild card positioning. Big moment for the evening.
Harper stares out. Bases loaded, two down. Gausman deals. Ground ball right back to the bump. swatted down by Gausman. Throw to first, in time, side retired. Bases left loaded in Philly.
First pitch, swings at the splitter, grounds out. Gausman escapes five innings, having allowed just four hits and two walks with eight strikeouts. Just needed a little bit of run support. But first, before we get to the rest, a little bit of tangent time. Do you mind? Do you mind if I go on a little tangent?
Yeah, you go right ahead, man. Ready?
Okay.
What was that?
Did you see how many dogs were consumed on Looney Dog Night in Philadelphia?
No.
Top of the sixth, they had the ticker up in Philly. Over 40,000 pork missiles for less than 22,000 people announced attendance.
40,000 freaking hot dogs.
Yeah, and that was in the fifth inning.
Wow.
So some boys down in Philly.
Was it a dollar dog for them?
It was a dollar dog. Yeah, the Schneider's Looney Dog Night or whatever they were. So the guzzling of the glizzies was on the go for sure. Joey Chestnut Appreciation Night.
Was it really Joey Chestnut?
No, I don't think so, but would have been good.
It made sense, yeah, but no. Right? Geez, good for Philly.
Yeah.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Anyways, top of the sixth, heart of the order for the Jays. Syndergaard back for the Phillies. Struck out Vladdy, but would find himself against Alejandro Kirk with runners on the corners. Just needed one out. Needed that run support.
The 2-2. Kirk hits it sharply on a bounce. Out to second. Stott's got it for one. A turn to first in time. Double play. Side retired.
I hate when bad things happen to Alejandro Kirk. Phillies would get a runner to third, but they also had two outs, still looking for that first run.
And a 2-2 pitch. Bounding ball towards first, picked by Guerrero. Good feet towards Gausman, catches it in stride, gets to first to retire the side, and the Phillies leave another in scoring position.
In the bottom of the seventh, it would be Tim Mesa in to replace Kevin Gausman. Do you have the line for Kevin Gausman handy there for
you? Yeah, just trying to get up here quickly. Yeah, he went, well, that's not right.
Mesa did get into some trouble, though, after he replaced Gausman. Walked the batter on four pitches. He allowed a single on the next before you
there,
knew
I got Gausman. Okay, he went six, allowed five hits, struck out eight, walked two. Really good night for Kevin Gausman.
It really
just
was.
No run support.
Yeah, no run support. And then Tim Mesa came in. Bases were loaded for Bryce Harper. Two outs. Would it be the Phillies to get the runs first?
The 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Harper goes down on strikes. Mesa's fired up. The Blue Jays have stranded a Philly at third base for the fourth straight inning.
This would happen
and
after
we're scoreless going to the eighth.
Sorry, Ben. This would happen after Wednesday's game that went 18-11.
Oh yeah, and that one went
18-11. This one still went over near 4 hours.
This stupid game still went like 4.5 hours long, and it was still scoreless. We headed to the eighth. It was like, can we just get some runs already? Like,
hey, barkeep. Whose leg do you have to hump to get a
run
around here?
The 1-0. Guerrero smokes it. Deep left field. You can forget it! What a blast by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. A frozen rope to the seats in left field. And the Blue Jays have a 3-0 lead. Number 30 on the season for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
See, that's a conviction I'm used to from Ben. You know?
You can forget it!
It's a little bit different than...
Swing and a miss?
Swing and a miss?
Swing and a miss?
Sportsnet Stats had a thing yesterday. I'm trying to bring it up here. But the company that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is joining with going back-to-back 30 at the age 23 or younger. Mike Trout, Alex Rodriguez, Ted Williams, Jimmy Fox, Albert Pujols, Frank Robinson, and now Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
That feels like a good class.
It's some Hall of Famers and A-Rod.
Vladdy hit a 3-run bomb for the first run scored all day. It was his leg, if you were wondering, Brian. That gave him 300 RBI in his career. At the age of 23, he becomes the youngest homegrown player to hit 300 RBI in the Jays organization. Jimmy Garcia would enter for the eighth inning. He's been pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to set up Jordan Romano for the big save, and honestly, it went okay.
1-2. That's it, high and deep, up the left field line, turned around and gone. JT Realmuto will cut into the Blue Jay lead with a solo home run. The 3-2. A little liner into right field, down for a base hit. Near the line, it checks up. Segura will score. He's in from second.
Bradley with a throw back towards first base on an RBI single from Dalton Guthrie.
So 3-2, Schneids, John Schneider, the manager, called the bullpen, doesn't like what he's seeing. Jordan Romano comes in to replace Garcia at that point with runners on the corners and two outs. Wanted four outs from Romano, but one to get out of the eighth with the lead.
A 3-1 pitch. Line drive, base hit into right field, rippling its way up the line. Guthrie is in to score to tie the game. It's 3-3 on an RBI base hit by Kyle Schwarber. Four straight singles for the Phillies. A three-run eighth.
So a tie game headed to the ninth. These two teams just cannot play a fast game. 3.5 hours for 8 innings of ball. Puke. Nothing going on in the ninth, so we went to extras. The Jays would get the bases loaded up for Teoscar Hernandez in just one out. Great chance for at least a run, right? Please?
Man. And the pitch.
Please.
Swinging a line drive, caught by Segura at second base, lunges out to second to double off the Blue Jays and retire the side.
Oh
man, Teoscar Hernandez hit a frozen rope right to Gene Segura, the second baseman, who just fell over on top of second base with the glove.
Oh. Like, there's what? How much of a percent that he bounces that right there?
Yeah.
Well, not bounces, it was a pop-out, but... Ugh.
I mean, Teo's been struggling. He's been battling for a little bit
and
here.
That at-bat was weird, man. He had all sorts of... Like, there were sliders way out there, and then he was, like, waiting, and then he swung at one that was, like, egregious, and then it looked like it messed him up mentally. And
it's almost like Lourdes Gurriel needs to come back, because I feel better with an outfield of Gurriel, Springer, and Tapia, because Hernandez is just not... He's not healthy. I know that for sure.
Adam Simber would come in to replace Jordan Romano after the ninth. The Phillies pitcher Andrew Bellotti would struggle, but the Phillies, as you heard, managed to get out of it. Simber would plunk a batter, walk another on four pitches, and then this.
Infield in, winning run at third for Philly. The pitch. Chopper in the middle of the diamond. That's through. A base hit, and they'll win the game. A five-hit night. Matt Beerling delivers number five. A game winner in the 10th. A 4-3 Philly win.
Pretty good game for the nine-hitter in the lineup, center fielder Matt Vierling, with the winning runs, 5 hits in the game. The Jays fall.
Nine?
Yeah, unbelievable. The Jays fall 4-3, and after another long game, have to make the trip to Tampa for their huge four-game series with the Rays. Some questions with injury. Second baseman Santiago Espinal left the team with left side discomfort, and we also didn't see reliever Anthony Bass. Haven't seen him for a while. Felt like it would have been a good opportunity to bring him in there. So some questions as well. First pitch Thursday night is at 4:40. Jose Berríos will be on the bump for the Jays.
5 minutes earlier tonight.
Oh, thank goodness. Hopefully they can do it in less than 4 hours. Elsewhere, we've really only got a couple of battles left for playoff positioning with about 24 games to go. Two Baker's dozens.
Yeah, give or take.
In the American League, it looks like it'll be Houston in the one seed, the Yankees in the second. The Guardians beat the Sox again, so they're probably going to win the AL Central and be the third seed. That leaves the American League wildcard teams. Jays, Mariners, and Rays. Orioles would need a miracle to get in. So we'll check in on Seattle and Tampa. Talked on Wednesday about the Mariners' easy schedule, but you still got to beat the opponents on it. That was after the Mariners lost to the Athletics Tuesday, and we basically just copy and pasted that into here. Tony Kemp singled on a line drive in the bottom of the seventh inning to make it 2-0 as the A's beat the Mariners 2-1. They have a chance to sweep them this afternoon when they battle at 1:37. Boy, would that be a big blow for the M's.
Now they don't have Suarez. They don't have Rodriguez right now.
I think Rodriguez was back in the lineup yesterday.
Well, Eugenio Suarez is having a hell of a year, and they need me missing him big,
and
too.
And he hit the 10-day IL with, what, a fractured finger last weekend? Took a pitch off the hand?
Maybe postseason, if you're lucky.
And you hope so, but him and Julio would kind of be the banger combo for them.
For sure.
The Rays were facing the Astros again on Tuesday. The Rays lost 5-0, and their starting pitcher, Shane McClanahan, left with injury. Wednesday, a step in the right direction in the sense that they plated a couple of runs, two of them, but not enough.
Being caught by Walls. Now Tucker drives one towards the Rays tank in right center. That's gone onto the netting above the tank, and it's 4-2.
Gotta love that gross tank down at the trop. Kyle Tucker's 29th floating above it. That gave Houston a 4-2 lead. They win the game 5-2. The Rays swept by Houston as they prepare for this series with the Jays down at the Trop. Now in the AL wildcard race, Toronto in the first spot. They're 2 games up on Tampa and 2.5 games up on the Mariners. The race for the NL East continues with the Mets and the Braves. Mets a game up going into Wednesday's games. Mets facing the Brewers, Braves facing the Nationals. We'll start with that one. The Nationals are the worst team in the majors. The Braves are probably a top three team in the majors, but baseball is a funny sport. The Braves jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and they held that until the 7th.
And there is a long one to left. See you later. Up in the Hank Aaron Terrace, and he's done damage now. The Nats on top here in the 7th.
Joey
Meneses.
10th home run gives the Nats a 3-2. I'm not that familiar with the Nationals lineup.
Nobody is.
Even the Nats. Like, the broadcaster didn't say his
name. Virk said C.J. Abrams is having a good thing ever since he came back. I mean, over in the Soto trade. That's about it.
Neat. I got the perfect thing for that. Ready?
Yeah.
I can't find it. Anyways, that gave the Nats a 3-2 lead over the Braves, and that would be your final score. So a loss for the Braves. Could the Mets take advantage and create a little bit more separation as they took on the Brewers? But the Brewers are a different story than the Nationals. They're trying to get into a wild card spot. Beating teams like the Mets, that'll certainly help their case.
Brasso left field. Back McNeil. Warning track. Long! Off the bench on 0-2. His third pinch hit home run of the season.
Third pinch hit home run? Sixth home run of the season. That one a grand slam. Blew the game wide open. The Brewers beat the Mets 6-0. So no changes in the NL East. The Mets still lead that division by just one game. National League wild card. 2 spots left for 3 teams. The Padres, Phillies, and Brewers all duking it out. Mentioned that the Phillies beat the Jays and the Brewers won, so just needed to check in on the Padres, who are battling the Cards. Just 1 run scored in this game. An RBI single in the second. That was all San Diego needed with Blake Snell or Snellzilla on the mound.
I'm Snellzilla, and you're out. 4 strikeouts for Blake Snell. And a swing and a miss. Blake Snell has struck out 5 in a row, and that's 7 strikeouts on the night for Snell.
Wow.
Strikeout number 10 for Blake Snell. Snellzilla's got it going on in San Diego tonight.
Snellzilla.
Snellzilla's got it going on in San Diego tonight. 13 Ks for Snell over 7 shutout innings, 2 walks and 2 hits. As the Padres are now in the second wild card spot, they're a game and a half up on the Phillies. The Brewers are 2.5 games out of a wild card spot. 1-0 was the final score in that game. NFL. Real quickly, we'll dive into this a little bit after 8 o'clock. We're going to speak to a beat reporter from both the Browns and the Steelers. Brian Batko going to join us from the Post-Gazette Sports Now to talk some Steelers. And Chris Easterling from the Akron Beacon Journal going to join us covering the Browns just after 8. So we'll dive in a little bit more then. But I will tell you, the Browns are favored by 4.5, and the total is set at 38.5. It's the lowest total of the week.
Could be some rain. Could be some rain in Cleveland.
Could be some rain. Wind. I saw the winds gusting up to like 50K, something like that. It's going to be like
right on the lake there.
Temperature in the teens. This might be a bit of a gross one. Yeah. Nick Chubb fantasy owners are probably licking their chops, though.
200 yards they're averaging rushing the ball right now. That's the most since the 2019 Ravens.
One other note, the NFL upheld the suspension of Buccaneers receiver Mike Evans. He'll miss the Bucs' home game against the Packers Sunday. And at Stampeders practice, a couple of good news points. Running back Kadeem Carey upgraded from limited to full with a calf injury. Defensive back Deontay Ruffin also upgraded. But it does not look like Josiah Shakel or Malik Henry practiced. So we'll see if they are able to get back on the course. And the President's Cup begins today. 5 foursome matches of alternate shot to be played today as the international teams look to upset the Americans. First tee time is 11:05. Canadian Corey Connors is going to be paired with Sung J.M. They're battling Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. Canadian Taylor Pendrith also in action today. He's paired with Mito Pereira. They're going to battle Tony Finau and Max Homa. No LIV golfers. It's kind of hurting the President's Cup roster, but also it means that more Canadians on the roster. We'll see how they do today. That's it.
And good night, and good luck to you, sir.
And that's the morning report. It's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors. Quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street, Southeast. Wanted to let you know, just before we do say goodbye for the first hour, Pete Weber's going to join us next. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Nashville Predators. We also got a little bit of CFL discussion coming up later on in the middle of the segment. But today we are telling you all about the hospital home lottery, as the deadline is midnight tomorrow for the Cayenne and Caribbean bonus prize. It's an outstanding prize, so make sure you head over to hospitalhomelottery.com to grab your tickets, or you can check out the Facebook page or their Instagram page. The hashtag is YYC Home Lottery. Around the corner, we're talking some Preds. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.